Today we want to think again on Their Sleep is Sweet, and it's a continuation from our message last week. And remember, when it says their sleep, it's referring to Christians who have already died and their body is in the grave. Now, their sleep is sweet because they have hope, and they have hope for a number of reasons. First of all, they have hope because Jesus rose again. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14, we read, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Now, sleep again refers to the body that has been laid in the grave, not the soul and spirit, because at the moment of death, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And we are confident, I say, and willing rather, or desirous, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Then at the rapture, our body, which is in the grave, or we who are yet alive, will be resurrected, and our soul and spirit will be brought together with our resurrected body, and they'll be joined. Now, in the verse where it says, when it says, "in Jesus, those that sleep in Jesus," we usually think of this as referring to those in Jesus, or in other words, we've received Christ as our Savior, and we're part of his body. But that's not exactly what this means. The word "in" here, in Jesus, has the thought of through Jesus. And so there's a thought, "even so them also which sleep through Jesus will God bring with him," or his hope of being in the presence of God is made possible through Jesus. And our hope is certainly through Jesus. Now notice verse 14, the first part again. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," our hope is based on the death and resurrection of Jesus. And unless we are absolutely certain concerning the death and resurrection of Christ, we are not certain of our hope. Now, our hope begins at the cross. It is there that Christ died for our sin. It is there that God provided a sufficient sacrifice for our sin. And it is there that we have a substitute who was able to save us. Linked to the cross is the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection is the evidence that Christ is truly the Son of God. It is the evidence that his death was a sufficient sacrifice. And it is the assurance that we will be resurrected one day. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 23, 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 23, we read, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man," that's Adam, "came death, by man also," that's Christ, "came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, and afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. And so we have hope because Jesus not only died for us, but rose again. And then secondly, we have hope because we shall rise again. Again, notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting with verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, in other words, we haven't died yet, shall not precede them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet together. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Yes, we have hope that we shall rise again. Now, where the scripture says we will not prevent or precede those that Christians that have already died, there is a definite order during the rapture. Jesus descends with a shout in the from heaven. The shout is a command. It is like the shout of a military officer giving a command. Now Christ, when he comes, will shout his command. Now there's an example, and in John chapter 11, verse 43, we read this. And Jesus was at the tomb of Lazarus, who had died. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, when Christ commanded Lazarus to come forth, he came forth. And when Christ commands, when he comes again at the rapture, and we don't know what he'll shout, whether he'll shout, "Come up hither," or whatever it is, he's going to shout, and every believer, whether we're already died and our body's sleeping, so to speak, in the grave, or whether we are yet alive, we're going to be resurrected and meet Christ in the air. And then also, there will be the voice of the archangel, and it says that the voice of the archangel, and that's Michael. In Jude verse 9, we see that Michael is the archangel, and he will come, and he will give a shout. Now, we don't know what he shouts or why he shouts, but we do see some of his activity in Scripture. And again, in Jude chapter, in verse 9, we see him having a conflict with the devil. And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, we read this. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, or the devil. And the dragon, the devil, fought and his angels. Now we see Michael involved in this conflict with Satan. And I'm sure that takes place over and over and over again. Going back in the Garden of Eden, way at the beginning of Scripture, death came as a result of man yielding to the devil's temptation. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 54, we read this: death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Michael's shout could very well be a shout of victory, that the believers are going to rise and that Satan has been defeated. And that shout will probably ring through the heavens. And then also, not only will Christ shout and will Michael shout, but the trumpet of God shall sound. Now, in the Old Testament, trumpets were used on a number of different occasions. And on one occasion, it was for the assembling of troops together. This could certainly go along with the rapture, where the trumpet sounds and his people that are believers, whether dead or alive, are brought together unto Christ. And we see the order: the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then the Christians which are yet alive shall then rise. And this all takes place in a moment, a split second. Turning back again to 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, we read this: Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or all go into the grave, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Now, whether we're dead or alive, we're going to be changed when Christ returns. And our bodies that went, those that have already died, their bodies that went into the grave are going to be resurrected. And we who are still alive, or the believers who are still alive, they're going to be resurrected and changed. And whether the believer's body is disfigured, or whether it's dismembered, or whether the believer is blind or deaf or whatever, that body is going to be made whole and complete. And we're going to receive new bodies, new glorified bodies. And then thirdly, we have hope, because we shall be forever with the Lord. And notice the last part of verse 17, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, where it says, And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We will never be separated from the Lord. We will never in any way be disappointed, and we will never regret or experience regret in any way, because we will be forever with the Lord, the God who created us, the one who saved us, and the one that we're going to spend eternity with. And notice that word forever. That means time will never end. And somebody made this statement, and I'm going to read it. And they try to just illustrate how long forever is. And they said, let's say that there's a sparrow on the West Coast, and this sparrow picks up a grain of sand off of the seashore and flies across America to the East Coast and drops that grain of sand on the shore, the ocean shore on the East Coast. And then that sparrow flies back to the West Coast, and he does that again, and he does that again and again and again. Now, this couldn't happen, I know, but he just gives an illustration. By the time that he has carried every grain of sand from the West Coast and deposited it on the East Coast, which would take millions and millions of years, he said, when that sparrow has completed that, then our time with the Lord will have only begun. For Scripture says, we shall ever be with the Lord. And that means it will never, never end. And we can't even imagine how it's going to be when time never comes to an end. But that's how it's going to be, because the Scripture says that whether we've already died here on earth and are resurrected, or whether we're still alive when the rapture happens and we are resurrected, we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever. What a glorious thing that will be. Let's close in prayer. Father, how thankful we are that Jesus came to earth and that he died on the cross for our sin, in order that when we place our faith in him, our sin is forgiven and we have everlasting life. And Father, we thank you that one day, whether it's a believer who has already died or whether we're still alive, we thank you that one day Jesus is coming back and we're going to be resurrected. And the Bible says we shall ever be with you. And we just thank you and praise you for this. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.